out to dry. Tell me everything I'm not. Don't tell me to stop.
Hi, this is Liz Wright. You're listening to WBAI in New York.
Coming up next is Ecologic at 6 a.m. right here on WBAI New York 99.5 FM and WBAI.org.
A boutique and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? It paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on promoting the herd and telling where we're gonna plant our seed, it makes me wanna cry. For the children, makes me wrong. We could do, there's so much we could know if we listen to the earth.
Good morning. Glad you can join us for Ecologic at 6 a.m. Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. And this is Ecologic at 6 a.m. for January 21st, 2023.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Today, we're joined by Joe Adamondi to discuss forest preservation in New Jersey and elsewhere. What you're hearing now is pre-recorded, but we'll go live at about 6:20 and we'll be taking your calls for our guest. We'll also be playing an excerpt from an interview Ken did with Jim McCarty, the drummer with the Yardbirds, when they were arguably at their best with Jeff Beck, who recently passed. And news.
Last week, we started to tell you about a report by the Environmental Integrity Project, EIP, which you saw in a newsletter from the Revolving Door Project. Here's the rest of the story. The EIP analyzed the past 20 years of enforcement by the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, and the news is not good. The agency lost more than one-fourth of its total enforcement staff since 2016. In 2022, it concluded the lowest number of civil judicial cases, referred the lowest number of civil cases to the Justice Department, and opened the second lowest number of criminal cases since the year 2000. These lackluster results are primarily due to Congress's refusal to reverse more than a decade of budget cuts or to confirm President Biden's nominee to head the EPA's Office of Enforcement and Compliance Assurance. The agency did increase federal inspections significantly last year compared to 2021. But during Bush's 2005 to 2008 term, the annual average was more than double the Biden administration's number. Bush's average was 21,000. Biden's annual averages were 10,000 and 13,000.
From the EIP report, The professional staff who monitor compliance, investigate violations, and bring legal actions against polluters are doing the best they can with increasing limited resources. But they are not helped by the continued inability of the Senate to confirm David Ullman as Assistant Administrator of EPA's Office of Enforcement and Compliance Assurance. Mr. Ullman's confirmation has been pending since he was nominated in June of 2021. With enthusiastic support from public interest groups, attorneys representing regulated industries, and former political appointees who served both Republican and Democratic administrations at the Department of Justice and EPA. High priority violations have persisted for more than 2.5 years without any real enforcement response, and almost 1,000 facilities have violated water pollution limits at least 50 times with no significant enforcement action. As EPA enforcement declines, polluters escape accountability for even the most serious violations.
Wow. Tomorrow starts the Lunar New Year, which ends on February 9th, 2024. 2023 is a year of the water rabbit. The sign of rabbit is a symbol of longevity, peace, and prosperity in Chinese culture. 2023 is predicted to be a year of hope. When I think of rabbits in ecology, my first thought is the rabbit-proof fence in Australia, a clear example of the problems of invasive species. They had to build a fence across the entire continent from north to south. Locally, we've heard a lot about invasive species in many situations, including our recent report by Therese McNally, who described one of the worst possible ways of removing an invasive plant species. Remove them and leave the ground bare for months, creating massive erosion and ignoring the needs of actual local birds and animals. We have seen similar actions during the removal of knotweed in Central Park. A current invasive species is a spotted lanternfly. We've also heard about zebra mussels coming into the Great Lakes through container ships. It took decades for the Great Lakes ecosystem to find a balance. The more trade and tourism, the more likely species are to travel to areas where they have no natural predators. In addition, gardeners over the years have brought in ornamental plants, such as Phragmites, that take over and crowd out native species.
Let's hope the damage by the invasive species, the round goby fish, coming into the Hudson River will be short-lived. More on that horror on another show.
The third song in the Solar Medley that closes our show is George Harrison and the Beatles' Here Comes the Sun, which otherwise needs no introduction.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun, I say, it's all right.
It's all right.
was Here Comes the Sun by George Harrison and the Beatles.
Environmental Advocates New York reports that New York has become the second state to establish an extended producer responsibility program for carpeting, setting the mandatory goals for carpet recycling. It creates convenient collection locations and phases out harmful PFAS chemicals from new carpet production. Carpet is mainly made of plastic from fossil fuels, with a wide range of chemicals used as adhesives and stain protectants. These chemicals can affect indoor air quality in homes or leach into drinking water supplies and can be toxic to human health. 515 million pounds per year of carpet are put into New York landfills. That's half a billion. The national average for carpet recycling is 5%, yet the rate in New York is only 1%. Local governments and businesses spend more than $22 million each year disposing of carpeting. This law is intended to create a circular economy for durable products, as well as permanent full-time carpet recycling jobs, with recovered carpet recycled into valuable materials such as PET, PP plastic, and nylon materials. These, in turn, are in high demand to be made into a range of products such as textiles, automotive parts, composite lumber, and new carpets. This law also prohibits toxic and ubiquitous per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances, PFAS forever chemicals, which are used on carpet as stain repellents, and which we discussed on our recent show, which you can find on ecoradio.org and the WBAI archive. Judith Enck, former EPA regional administrator and president of Beyond Plastic, said, "This is an impressive environmental victory, requiring that carpet producers take financial responsibility for their product. Most importantly, chemical recycling will not count as real recycling."
Three special Clearwater folks just left the planet. My fellow Clearwater board member, Thomasina Winslow, was a lovely person and a hugely talented blues singer. She will be missed greatly by many. Her music lives on. Thomasina had a great passion for art and for the environment. Not only did she play at the Clearwater Revival, Thomasina was also an active and valued member of the board of directors, helping Clearwater to steer the organization into the future. Clearwater's board president, Steve Stan, says, "We will deeply miss having her aboard for the voyage." From a chanty we often sing to close out concerts and remember fellow travelers lost. And when the day is ended, haul away for heaven, haul away for heaven. It's our sailing time. You can search YouTube for her music. Thomasina's father, blues musician Tom Winslow's song, "Hey Look Yonder," was not only his contribution to Clearwater, but artistically predated Marvin Gaye's "Mercy Me" as the first published song on environmental consciousness, written and performed by an African-American artist. Met Phil Sowers. Phil was a colorful character, great networker who brought so many people and projects together. This time we really lost him, but in 1957, he was lost at sea for 71 days. Thankfully, he survived that harrowing experience. Phil became fast friends with Pete Seeger and co-founded with Pete Water Not Weapons campaign and songs that were created for it. He was board director emeritus of New York City Friends of Clearwater. And in an earlier part of his life, he garnered enduring fame for his surfboard creations, Surfboards by Phil. Phil brought me to my first Clearwater Revival, and we collaborated on the very first New York City Friends of Clearwater Water Festival. Ken Gale first introduced Phil to Pete Seeger, which started a terrific chain of connections. Oh, no. Another beloved member of Clearwater family has left us. Dear, sweet, and talented Peter Pascoe passed this last weekend. Peter was a dedicated musician working anywhere he could. He loved to play anytime and anywhere. He was a mainstay of the village music scene in the 1980s. Peter was relied upon and delivered at every New York City Friends of Clearwater gathering. He knew 1,000 songs if he knew one. He had a job in hospitals and senior centers where he would walk from ward to ward singing for patients and residents and bringing his gifts to many. He was something special in their lives, a gift. And he knew the songs they wanted to hear. He could sing a Grateful Dead song or Fats Waller or a song from the Gershwin era, and he had them all in his head. Peter was such a gentleman. With loss comes treasured memories, And that is what is needed to hold on to.
The three of us are also sad about the passing a little over a week ago of the great rock and jazz guitarist Jeff Beck. This is an excerpt of a phone interview I did with Jim McCarty, the drummer of the Yardbirds, that has never been aired. Not only did he co-write a Yardbird song with an environmental message to it, but the guitarist is the great Jeff Beck.
They still seem to stand up today, you know, things like Shapes of Things and Over Under Sideways Down, you know. Those were songs that were, like, created by the band.
You just mentioned my very favorite Yardbird song.
Right.
Shapes of Things.
Right.
And when I first found out I was going to be talking to you, I raced and I wanted to make sure that you co-wrote that song, because if you did, I wanted to talk to you about it. And
right.
Sure enough, you co-wrote my favorite Yardbird song.
Yes.
Now, that had a message to it, and a lot of the Yardbird songs did not.
Yes. I think, it was recorded during the, you know, Vietnam War, and... It had lyrics that sort of reflected that and reflected the way the world was going. And I guess in some ways it still stands up, you know.
Well, unfortunately, yes, it does stand up.
Yes.
And it had an environmental theme to it as well. And that was before the Clean Water Act and the Clean Air Act were passed in the U.S.
Yeah.
And there you were in, what, 66 is when you wrote that? 64?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
66. Yeah.
So... I don't know if we would call that prescient or just saying something when it was while it was happening or what.
I think we were always quite sensitive to those sort of things, and obviously still are. But you know, back then we were it was just all starting, and we were just in at the beginning really, and seeing the world go in a certain way and trying to help, but.
So because you were just beginning, is that why that not that many songs had messages like that?
I suppose when we started, we were doing blues covers. So
right.
Blues music is obviously about something else. It's about, really having a good time and getting out from the sort of oppression of everything. And I don't think it really... That was really our story, you know. I mean, it was great fun to do those songs, but that's why we moved on and wanted to do songs that had a bit more, truth for us in them. And Shapes is a good one, and, you know, even Still I'm Sad and Over Under, they were all about what was going on for us.
Well, let's hear Shapes of Things right now.
Just heard my brain, but all it seemed the same.
listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Ken Gale.
And I'm Sally Gellert. The environmentalist community is paying tribute to Native American climate warrior Joy Braun this week, with actions titled Spark Joy, particularly on her birthday yesterday, January 20th.
Before we bring you our guests and take your phone calls, a very important thing that we, and all producers, need to do on each show is appeal to you to keep this radio station on the air. For 63 years this month, this radio station has existed and continues only because of listener support. You know, Ecologic takes pride in empowering you to participate in helping you with actions you can do on important issues we expose and present. Participation also helps with funding our time with you. Please donate to WBAI and say that you are donating in the name of Ecologic. Even better, become an Ecologic BAI buddy.
Today's report from the Environmental Integrity Project shows the importance of investigative journalism and analysis. Too many mainstream media outlets simply pick up corporate press releases. We ask the hard questions and kick the tires. We've given you information on how to be heard at public hearings, and we can continue to do that if you do your part by contributing to WBAI. Ecologic serves you and the community with these and many environmental stories about issues that affect our health and well-being. We can't do it without you. This is the truth. We're about the truth. We're about exposing the bad guys and celebrating the good ones. Support us. Call 212-209-2950.
We think you value the environmental news and views we bring you each week. You listen to environmental news because you care. Ecologic cares about you and the air you breathe and the water you drink. Let's work together to keep this show and WBAI on the air. Now we need you to show us that you care. Yeah, it's serious. Yeah, you've heard it before. Yeah, this is different. We're at a crossroads, and your participation makes a difference. Ecologic brings you actions you can take. Letters, emails, petitions, rallies, marches, direct action. It's all important. And the nitty-gritty of raising funds is also part of that equation. Please help us to keep WBAI on the air. Call and contribute now. The donation number is 212-209-2950.
You're interested in the welfare of the planet and its peoples, animals, and plants. You need Ecologic to bring you up-to-date information. Please make it possible for us to do that by supporting WBAI. Please consider taking the next few minutes to pick up the phone and make that call, or go online and make that donation. Contributing now shows that Ecologic is important to you, that you care about our protecting our air and our water. It's a win-win for you and Ecologic. The number to call is 212-209-2950.
What we call the environment is not some abstract thing. It's the air we breathe, the water we drink. And even though you may not know much about farm equipment, what happens in the Midwest affects you too. Of course, all these issues affect our health and healthcare costs. Flooding in South America, and then where's your coffee? How is California going to supply your fruits and vegetables during droughts and wildfires?
The Pacifica Network was the first listener-supported radio, way back in 1949, created by pacifists after World War II. WBI became part of that network 10 and a half years later. And listeners like you have kept us going ever since.
WBAI has been involved in every political and social struggle, including the climate crisis. Were you there at the beginning of BAI? Probably not. Are you going to be there at the end? We hope not. But we're in a financially fragile state and really hope that you'll step up to help keep us going. We need you to help keep WBAI and the Pacifica Network broadcasting. Call 212-209-2950.
Without a transmitter, you hear nothing. A transmitter to broadcast our signal is our most basic need. You're hearing us now because listeners like you pitched in to help. You listen to Ecologic, so be a part of it. Join us as a member for just $25, as a BAI buddy for $10 or more a month, or just make a donation today to let us know you care about Ecologic and WBAI. Support your show.
We thank you for everything you've done for BAI in the past and look for your continued support so we can keep thanking you. BAI has so many important shows, and donating to the Transmitter Tower Fund helps keep every single show on the air. Towerfund.wbai.org is still the best way to support that project. Help BAI take charge of our transmission tower rent. The tower has a wide reach, but if our rent is not paid, that won't help us.
Sorry. Our transmitter is at Four Times Square, which is partially solar powered, and the solar panels were installed by someone who was a friend and past guest of Eco Logic.
Uh-oh, Sally's breaking up. What Sally's talking about is our transmitter at Four Times Square, which is partially solar powered. And the solar panels were installed by someone who is a friend and past guest of Ecologic. That guest, Anthony Pereira, was part of the panel on our premium Solar in the City, which is part of a 3-DVD set available for a $90 donation. Let's all be part of the solution. Please support WBAI's Free Speech Community Radio by becoming an Ecologic BAI buddy or pledging for premiums, or by making a single donation today. With $25 or more, you become a voting BAI member.
We expose greenwashing whenever we can. There's so much that we cover that's unknown to the public, or so controversial that commercial radio won't touch it. Last week, our expose with Lewis Rossman about industry's misrepresentation on the right to repair is the kind of story that you're not going to get from mainstream media. You hear about it right here on WBAI and Ecologic, nowhere else. That is why we need your support. That is why you need to support Ecologic. That is why we all need to support WBAI. Please go to ecologic.wbai.org now.
Ecologic has been on BAI for more than 20 years, so we have covered lots of environmental topics, and some of our most popular past shows have been made into DVDs and CDs that we offer as thank you gifts to our donors. For instance, Women and the Environment includes Rachel Carson and Helen Caldicott. And by the way, there's a great forum you'll want to attend that is put together by the Indian Point Safe Energy Coalition, Hudson River Sloop Clearwater, and United for Clean Energy. They're bringing Dr. Helen Caldicott from Australia, virtually, the online expert forum about health and safety impacts of the decommissioning of Indian Point is this Thursday, January 26th at 4 p.m. Find details on our website, Thursday, January 26th, 4 p.m. To hear more from the amazing Helen Caldicott and about Indian Point, check out our Nowhere to Run Helen Caldicott Indian Point package, two DVDs and a CD, for a donation of $80 or more. It includes Dr. Helen Caldicott speaking on global warming, is nuclear power the answer, the Indian Point film Nowhere to Run DVD, and an Indian Point song sampler CD. We have a selection of more than 25 items you can choose from on the website, ecologic.wbai.org.
To support Ecologic and have it be a win-win, you can choose for yourself from our premiums on ecologic.wbai.org. Figure your budget, choose your interest, and see how much you appreciate WBAI and Ecologic. Can you find just $10 a month to be a sustaining WBAI buddy? Any donation to WBAI in the name of Ecologic is truly a win-win.
If you prefer not to donate online or through the call center, you can send a check or money order for your membership and or premiums. The mailing address is WBAI Radio, Attention Membership, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. That's 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, 11217.
Joining us today is Joe Adamante, who's been participating in a forestry task force convened by New Jersey State Senator Bob Smith. Welcome, Joe. Are you on the line?
He's not there yet.
We'll be talking about the importance of forests, the role of old growth forests, carbon storage, habitat fragmentation, Native American forest management, invasive species, promoting, not just managing forests. We'll be talking about logging in New Jersey, which I think a lot of people didn't realize.
While we're waiting for Sean to call Joe, we got a call from a note from a listener who, Deb in New Jersey, who said, in my area, we have an epidemic of ash trees dying. This week, a contractor for JCPL is trimming and removing trees near our power lines. I live, she says, in a rural area with narrow scenic roads. Many properties like mine have extensive wooded areas. Many of our trees are over a century old. The ash trees have borers, and the oaks are starting to fall from leaf scorch and drought. I used to have a red-tailed hawk nesting atop one of my oak trees. The hawk left when the tree died. We did not have many young trees. The deer eat most everything within reach. They even eat prickly holly leaves. In early fall, the bucks rub their antlers on the trunks of small trees, causing much damage to the bark. What they do not eat are invasive species. Japanese stiltgrass is especially rampant. It's very expensive to remove a dead or dying tree. I only remove the trees near the house and driveway. Back in the woods, there are many falling trees, slowly returning to the ecosystem.
And it looks like we're going to have Joe on soon. Joe, are you there? Almost, not quite. We've been getting a lot of email from listeners and people who saw the announcement of this show. And Joe, you've really struck a chord with the environmental work that you're doing. And there is a difference between an old growth forest and a new forest, and especially when that new forest was planted by the logging industry, because they can't think of forests as living ecosystems. They think of it as a farm, as a plantation, something they can make money off of, and anything living there is just in the way. And when they plant forests, if you see a forest that all the trees are evenly spaced and there's like no underbrush, that forest was almost definitely planted by the logging industry. And you'll see very few birds, very few mammals, very few anything living there. And it's old growth forest is important, and trees age too. And in fact, they get gray when they get old, just like people and animals do. You can actually see that a tree is old, not just by the size of it, but it looks different than it does when it's a young tree.
Yeah. But you know, what's interesting is, you know, all these folks who talk about, logging and replacing trees with new trees, the older trees really capture more carbon and do more for the climate than the young replacement trees do. It's going to take a long time for the young tree to grow to the point where it holds as much carbon as the older trees. So be wary about those replacements.
Joe, you with us now? Oh. So we have a Zoom with Joe muted at the same time that he's on the phone. So we can see that Joe is talking, but for some reason it's not getting to the radio station.
He's here now.
Hi, Joe.
Hello, Sally. We finally solved that technical problem.
All right. Oh, welcome, Joe. Tell us about what you're doing with Senator Smith and your background on trees and how you got into all this.
Okay, we're being recorded now. Okay, thank you for having me. I go back a long way. I'll just mention a couple of things about myself. I've been very active. Can you hear me in the environmental community for the last 30 or 40 years with the Burnham Park Association? We've constructed a riparian buffer around a pond. We preserved 100-acre wood in our area from development, another area. Also, I brought in some Rutgers Co-op people to do an assessment of invasives in the pond, and they subsequently subsequently did a removal and a demonstration for the town. And I've been purchasing, selecting and purchasing trees, which we donate to Burnham Park for the last 30 years.
Wow.
Regarding Senator Smith, he is the chair of the Senate Environment and Energy Committee. And he was charged to, this is a quote, to seek consensus and prepare a report on actions needed to better protect and manage New Jersey's public forest lands. So this committee was formed at his behest and to submit recommendations for possible legislation that might change or supplement current forest practices. As you know, there's a patchwork in New Jersey and much of it is home rule, that sort of thing. So
I understand that the public forest in New Jersey is not protected against logging at this point, whereas private forests are. Is that correct?
Well, private forests, it depends on the homeowner, of course. Any private individual who has a piece of forest, some woods, can log those, depending, again, on local ordinances. Public forests are not protected, as you say. There are forest stewardship plans, and for example, there's one in northern New Jersey, and the forest stewardship plans permit logging in many cases, and that logging, of course, harvests the wood, and that that exacerbates climate change. So, yeah, and sometimes there's a misconception about that, and I can get into that a little bit if you want me to. They want to create early successional habitat to encourage certain species which have declined. However, they're using as a baseline for the forest and for the birds, 1960s, rather than pre-settlement days in this country. So it's inaccurate. I have a current study that addresses that I could forward to you. But that's just a thumbnail of that.
And I read somewhere that they want to protect the golden-winged warbler, which is
that's
a great thing for a birder to hear. But the way they're doing it is they're opening up the entire habitat of the forest to cowbirds, which are nest predators. So they're doing the opposite of what they say they're doing, because the logging industry has given them some rhetoric that they repeat for people who don't know any better.
Well, it's more, frankly, it's more than the logging industry. It's New Jersey Audubon also. I'll probably get in trouble because one of the chairs of this committee was a vice president of New Jersey Audubon, but nevertheless, that is their position, that they should thin trees, they should thin remove the overstory to allow more sunlight in. However, when you do that, and studies have shown this, and all of the experts I've spoken to affirm this, that you open it up to invasives and, of course, to more deer browsing, and you don't get the species that you want, such as the red oak and so on. You get the early, you get the grasses, you get the invasives, and you get the shrubs. But once those large trees are gone, as you know, they can't be replaced by just planting tiny trees, which is what many people think is appropriate.
Right.
Yeah, it's so bizarre. And go ahead, Sally.
Oh, you know, you mentioned the deer situation, which Deb also mentioned in her note. Did the committees talk about the deer concerns and how best to address
it? How best is a difficult question because this was one of the areas we all agreed on that something needs to be done. However, the devil's in the details because we had a couple of animal rights people who are vehemently opposed to, you know, to killing deer at all. I mean, you can sterilize them, but that's very difficult to do. There are fences, there are deer exclosures that have been used, but you can't do that with something like the Sparta Mountain Wildlife Management Area, which is 3,500 acres. You just can't fence large areas. So the problem is, how do you do it? We all agreed something has to be done because that's one of the key issues, that the deer, and not only in New Jersey, of course, in the entire region, are decimating the understory and just we're going to have a problem down the road. The other issue we agreed on was invasives, and so this will be studied. I don't know what the final answer would be.
What does invasive species mean?
One key point, which I should mention regarding deer, we had a chief of the Ramapo Nation participate, and he suggested that he should be part of this discussion when it comes to legislation or to these. By the way, all of these proposals and all of the recommendations will be submitted to the NJDEP for action, but also to Senator Smith, and there may be legislative action. But back to the chief suggested that the old ways should return, and the Native Americans, the Ramapo specifically, should be allowed their hunting rights, should be allowed to hunt as they once did in New Jersey's forests and remove the deer. And I thought that was a very good suggestion, and most people agreed to that. The other good one was that you could sell venison, that sort of thing, and distribute it to the poor. So there are some good suggestions. We'll see what the DEP and the legislature does.
We've been using the term invasive and invasive species without defining it. Tell us what that is.
Well, you know, these are non-native species like pearlberry, like, that rampant one, stilt grass. These are species that are not native to the area and just take over and crowd out the natives. So with trees, there's the calorie pear. I remember once I mentioned we planted trees. Once we got a tree donated from the county, it was a calorie pear. So we returned it, and that's considered an invasive tree. But, you know, barberry, all of these horrible things that take over the understory and just crowd out all the natives.
Right.
Yeah, and the native animals and the native birds.
Absolutely.
They're used to living with native plants. And when the native plants aren't there, they don't do as well. You get fewer of everything. You do get more of certain things, you know, rats and mice, but I don't think that's what we're trying to plant for. It's an invasive species. When they crowd out, they don't crowd out one native species. They crowd out dozens of native species.
Everything.
So the diversity of the environment is gone.
Biodiversity
is so important.
It's you know, a prime example, just 3 miles up the road from me is part of the Washington National Historical Park called Jockey Hollow, and I'm there every other day. And I've spoken to the powers that be. Of course, the National Park Service moves very slowly. It's the barberry has taken over. They have not found a way to address it, or they simply will not, whether it's a budgetary constraint. You have to remove that, you know, mechanically or use pesticides, and they're leery of using pesticides. Another invasive, invasive tree is the ailanthus, or the tree of heaven, which was promoted by many people when I was younger, back in the 60s, and people were buying these things, and now they're all over the place and crowding out. And by the way, they're a prime habitat for the emerald ash borer, which, as you know, has decimated the ash trees.
Right.
Yeah. Now, we have some listeners who want to talk to you and talk about forests. So 212-209-2877 is the number to call, and you are on the air.
Hi, it's Russ.
Hey.
Hi, Russ.
Hi. You know, I just want to let you know, and Joe, on Monday, January 23rd, 7 p.m. in the Bedford Playhouse, they're having a movie called Uninvited. Maybe you've heard about it. It's about invasive plants and trees, and they're going to have a discussion after the movie with speakers. And they discuss, you know, the problem, even with the insects getting replaced. And it's a few bucks, but it's in Bedford Village. Mm-hmm. What I'd like to ask Joe, though, is what he thinks about the goats being used to remove invasive plants, because they've done that up here. You know, Westchester, we used to have tree wardens, no more. The idea of indigenous people shooting animals with arrows or whatever, they shoot the deer up here with arrows now. So that's not a good idea. Would a salt lick with birth control, you know, sperm count reduction, wouldn't that be okay? And the second question is more general. I mean, do you think hyperbolic claims do damage to the effort for us to move forward collectively? that sometimes manipulation and misrepresentation of science is used to advance certain policies. And, it freaks out these young people. You know, girls have a hard enough time in a patriarchal, skin-deep horror show of society. You know, they shouldn't be told we're all going to die in 10 years. So those are the one, two questions. Thanks very much. Great show, Ken and Sally. Bye.
Thanks, Bess.
Boy.
So, Joe, your thoughts on goats?
Well, it was a difficult. What, Sally, summarize that a bit. It was a little garbled there at one point.
Okay. Right? First question is the use of goats to remove some of the invasive species.
I have never heard that, to be honest.
I don't know anyone
who's spoken about it.
I have seen them doing that in some of the New York parks. They bring in a bunch of goats to chew up some of the invasive plant species.
And the poison ivy.
In a relatively limited area, yes, perhaps. But I wonder, people would object to that one, I think, many times. Regarding Native Americans, personally, I think they should be permitted to just, you know, with constraints and not necessarily bows and arrows, but they would have the same limitations that other hunters have. For example, in county parks here, they bring in sharpshooters and they close the parks. So they do take care of the deer, but the National Park Service does not do that. Regarding frightening people, I don't think that's the intent of anyone here or any of the experts I've spoken to or dealt with over the years, is to frighten anyone. Rather, it's to enlighten them. I mean, you have people like Greta Thunberg right now who's speaking to the, and others, young people, speaking to the forum in Davos, the economic forum. Sometimes you need to speak out very clearly about these threats. For example, someone mentioned insects disappearing. There was an article many years ago, and they've known about it, and they've done studies that insects are disappearing, and we depend on bees, we depend on other insects. So these are not scare tactics. I think they're truths that we all have to face, and if we don't do something about these things soon and all work together, I think we'll all pay the price. Thanks for the call, whoever it was.
Yeah, thank you, Russ. And we have one caller standing by. And I think the bottom line for all of this is it's not as scary if you're educated. If you know what's going on, then you understand what's happening and you're not letting your fear get away from you because you know. And that's a very important thing. And I think that a lot of the corporate policymakers that politicians use will use people's ignorance against them and you know, say things that sound one way but are actually another. And it's quite insidious. And I'm so glad WBAI, there's 168 hours a week of programming to let you know what's really going on. And it's so important that we have people like Joe and
there's an important point here, Ken and everyone, and that is, qui bono in Latin, who benefits, and what is their agenda? And you have to always ask that question. The agenda of many people, the people that I know and the people I've worked with, is not to profit, but to find out what is true about something and improve the knowledge base and then try to work from there to improve and save the forest and, quite frankly, save us all. So I don't think it's a scare tactic.
And the number is 212-209-2877, and you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah.
Yep, you're on the air.
I'm also a member of the Forest Task Force, and one thing that was, to me, showed their not bargaining in good faith when they brought Dr. William Momaw, the father of proforestation, how maturing trees sequester more carbon, and the most efficient and cost-effective method is simply letting forests mature,
right,
or the management would be, like Joe saying, invasives, species or human impacts like trash. So the new paradigm, ecological paradigm that is required doesn't seem to be happening. And there's the New Jersey Forestry Association, which is a private entity. It's supposed to help people manage their private property. They have a high seat now in the hierarchy on this task force. And I'd like to know how that happened. And they more or less have poo-pooed pro-forestation, because pro-forestation means you don't take the maturing trees. And New Jersey really has no old growth.
We've just about run out of time. So, Joe, can you answer that in 30 seconds?
Yeah, that wasn't a question. I agree with him wholeheartedly. I recognize your voice. I don't remember your name, though. But, yeah, we didn't have time to get into that. But pro-forestation is extremely important. That is leaving the mature trees, leaving them there. They increase biodiversity. Animal biodiversity, the animals depend on them. That is the one thing we could not agree on. In fact, there was no vote taken, and the caller would knows this is true. They would not permit, that is, our chairs would not permit a vote on logging versus no logging. So there was no consensus reached on that, sadly.
All right. And, we will come back to this in the future, I'm sure. But right now it's time to wrap up. So thank you for joining us this morning. We're glad to have you with us for Ecologic at 6 a.m., live or on the archives. For more information, go to our website, ecoradio.org.
We'd love to stay in touch with you. So those of you online, please go to www.ecoradio.org and sign up for our email list. Those of you on Facebook, please like our page, enter eco-logic.
Our website has information on a variety of environmental topics, so go to www.ecoradio.org. Ecologic and WBI continue to offer you environmental news, information, and entertainment. Ecologic at 6 a.m. includes more music and listener calls. Our listener-supported radio station needs you.
To support Ecologic and have it be a win-win, you can choose from our many premiums. Most can be found both on ecologic.wbai.org and on give2wbai.org. To become a member or contribute monthly as an Ecologic BAI buddy, call 212-209-2950. We love to see those Ecologic BAI buddy pledges. Most of the BAI staff, including us, are volunteers. Pledging now during this show really helps Ecologic especially. And our thanks to our engineer today, Sean Rhodes. We couldn't do this without you. I'm Ken Gale.
And I'm Sally Gellert. Join us again next week for Ecologic at 6 a.m. on Saturday, January 28th.
See the sun, how bright it shines on the nations of the earth. All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth.
So solar power, inexpensive energy. So
WBAI is not only a progressive free speech radio station, but it is also your opportunity for several perks through the BAI Buddy System. Becoming a buddy is simple. Donate as little as $10 on a monthly basis, thus forming a relationship that benefits you, the listener, and us here at 99.5 FM. After becoming a buddy, you'll receive a WBAI tote bag and a membership card that enables you to enjoy discounted services at Zipcar, Bacchus French Bistro, Revolution Books, and more locations in the New York region. Simply visit give2wbai.org. That's give2wbai.org. And donate today. We are a listener-supported radio station. But as a buddy, WBAI can also support you.
Don't want to use the website or the call center to contribute to WBAI? That's okay. Please feel free to send your check or money order to WBAI, 3rd floor, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. Please make your check or money order out to Pacifica-WBAI. We thank you for your donation and hope that you will spread the word and tell your friends. And please keep on listening.
Extinction Diaries. In the 1980s, millions of western monarch butterflies clustered in Southern California trees during the annual migration from the Pacific Northwest. By year 2000, those millions declined to hundreds, then tens of thousands. The Xerces Society has been counting monarchs in Southern California for several years. Last year, the count was a tragic 29,000, but the January 2021 count is less than 2,000. In some historic monarch wintering sites, volunteers failed to see a single butterfly. The eastern monarch is also rapidly declining, down over 80% from their historic numbers. That monarch travels from Canada and east of the Rocky Mountains in the U.S. to central Mexico. Scientists blame the race to extinction on several factors. Milkweed habitats are all but destroyed, and the use of pesticides and herbicides are poisoning the monarch. Climate change is disrupting wildflower blossoming, and wildfires throughout the West have taken their toll. The monarch is disappearing right before our eyes. My name is Rising Moon, and this is a Small World Radio production.
You're listening to WBAI, New York, 99.5 FM. My name is Bill Samuels, founder of NYPeoplesConvention.org. WBAI is New York's leader in progressive talk. Whether the issue is prison reform, education reform, the legalization of marijuana, or women's rights, the people's issues are covered on these airways. So stay tuned for the best in leading